Welcome to the Home Church Podcast. My name's Kenny, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Home Church, and we gather in Maiden, North Carolina. We're so glad you tuned in to today's episode, and we hope that this episode will help encourage you and inspire you as you continue to follow Jesus step by step. Well, good morning, and welcome to Home Church. My name's Kenny. I get the honor of serving as one of the pastors here at Home Church. I have three little boys, and as I'm raising them up, it reminds me of a bit of my childhood. And when I was a kid, I would ask for things all the time. My parents would always have a really similar answer to a lot of questions that I had. When I would ask for something and they would say no, or I would want to do something, they would say no. Or even if they were to ask me to do something and I would say no. I would always ask why. My middle son, Jesse, he got every bit of that why in him. But I remember, and maybe this is true of you as a kid, my parents, the only explanation that they ever gave me as to why was because I said so. Yeah. I mean, so clearly some of y'all are very attuned that you either heard that or you said that to your children. And that never really satisfied me, but because you said so. Okay, well, what kind of reasoning is that? Help me understand, like, what am I supposed to do with that? What does because you said so mean? Like, how am I supposed to walk away knowing, like, we're good, that I'm actually supposed to do this other than just because you said so? And here's what's interesting about that is because I hated that as a kid. I hated to hear that. That was always kind of the answer I got. And now as I'm a parent, do you know what one of the most popular phrases around the Mills house is? Because I said so. And that's it. And of course, my kids are just as bad wanting to know why and what do you mean and to give me some explanation and all that kind of stuff. And here's what I've learned that I did not know then as a kid, but now I know as a parent, which is this, is that I've got a whole litany of reasons as to why I said so. The problem is I don't have the time nor the inclination to go through all of those reasons right now. Because I'm your daddy and because I said so is going to have to be good enough. And you're going to have to trust my heart that I'm for you. I got good plans for you and I've got your best interests at mind. And so when I said do this, because I said so, you're just going to have to trust me, right? And of course, my kids are like me. That's still not good enough, right? Well, we've been in a series for the last few weeks teaching through, in a bit of a survey fashion, the Gospel of John. We've shared with you that this gospel is good news, but it goes a little deeper than that. It's a proclamation. It's a word in the Greek called euangelion. This goes a little deeper than just the idea of good news, where many of you have heard, you know, this idea, okay, I've got good news for you, but this is a proclamation. It's really a way that a new king and a new kingdom would announce their arrival into the scene. And so what John has done in his gospel, he's proclaiming that a new king and a new kingdom have arrived, and his name is Jesus. And John writes throughout his gospel a whole lot of things that he saw, things that he heard, and he gives us an explanation as to why he did these things at the end of his gospel. And this has been the kind of the baseline starting point, even though it's at the end of his gospel, that we've been working off of through this series. And the series is called That You May Believe. And what we've seen in John's gospel is that he is writing and he's giving us these examples of things that we may and should believe about Jesus. So that's what we've been doing over the past few weeks. And I want to show you where this comes from. This all started at the end of his gospel in John 20 in verse 30. And it says this, John wrote, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So we're into the fourth week of this series. And just a quick recap, I want to encourage you, if you've missed these have been some of the best things that we've been walked through as a church in a very long time. And so I'll encourage you to go back. You can always watch old messages on YouTube. But just a quick recap. Week one, we felt like John was helping us that we may believe that Jesus is God and that we would see through John's writings and in other places of the gospel the full Godhead, that one God exists in three persons, the person of the Father, the person of the Son, the person of the Holy Spirit, and that this Godhead came into personal relationship with us when Jesus came to the earth to live a life, and he gave his life for us that he might reconcile us to God the Father through the drawing of the Spirit, that when we believe, we would have life in him. And we saw that this Jesus loves us through the most famous scripture of all time, John 3:16. And then we discovered not just that we are saved, but how we are saved. And we talked about the work of the Spirit in drawing us, in wooing us, in shifting our heart, in offering us the gift of faith, that when we then just receive it, that's the only part we have to play in salvation, is we simply receive this gift, that then the Holy Spirit seals us, and the Holy Spirit walks with us and then empowers us to move, to be a witness for Jesus. And then last week, we talked about life on the vine. We read through John 15, where Jesus talks about what it looks like to be connected to him and why it's important that ultimately our connectivity to him leads us down a path of maturing and growing and eventually producing fruit in our life. And we ended last week with seeing that the first fruit that the Spirit produces in us is love. And so we're gonna kind of pick back up with that idea today, that if the work of us in us is growing and maturing, that we would produce fruit, and the first part of that fruit is love. Jesus describes some things about love that we want to take a look at today. And so this is where we're gonna be. I'm gonna just quickly tell you, we're gonna be in two places. We're gonna be in John 14. So if you have your Bible, you wanna go ahead and open that up to John 14. I'll always tell you, if you don't have a physical Bible, I wanna invite you to bring one. If you don't have one, we've got plenty at the Next Steps area. We'd love to gift you one. And when I say gift you, I mean free, all right? No, you don't have to pay for it. We actually give it to you. If you don't have any of those things, we'll certainly have the scripture on the screen. If you're watching online, we'll have it at my feet. And so here's where we're gonna start today. And we're gonna really wrap our whole time together today around this idea that you may believe, this is what John wants us to believe through this gospel, that you may believe that love equals obedience. This is one of the primary themes that we see throughout all of John, and we're gonna see it heavily right here in John 14, that you may believe that love equals obedience. So if you have your Bible, join me, John 14, and John is, again, penning down the words of Jesus. This is a conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples, and he's trying to help them understand this path that they're on and his part in it and their part with him. And he says this, "If you love me, keep my commands." Now, I'm gonna keep going, but I could literally stop there and I could preach the entire message just on that right there. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commands." He goes on, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." Oh, by the way, quick pause. This is a beautiful representation of the Godhead. Jesus is speaking, and he talks about the Father being willing to answer prayer, and that the advocate, he's speaking about the coming Holy Spirit. At this point, the Holy Spirit had not come into the earth yet, but this is an example of the Godhead showing up right here in Scripture. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth. That's who the advocate is, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And he goes on to say, "The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives within you and will be in you." Again, going back to week 3, where we talked about when we receive the gift of faith, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So wherever we go as believers, we carry the Holy Spirit with us. Verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." I love that. Jesus connects us. He says that if we love him, we'll keep his commands. Well, when we're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us, and that connects us to God himself. Beautiful. Verse 21, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. We're gonna come back to this idea because it feels a little bit like Jesus is saying that if you love me, you'll do what I say. Okay, so we're gonna come back to that concept. Verse 22. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. And my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our homes with them." Okay, well, hang on. So now for the third time, he's kind of doubled down on that concept that if you love me, you will not only know, but you will keep my commands and obey them. Okay? Verse 24, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And I love that. And that's always good for me as a preacher because sometimes people don't like some of the words that I say. When I just stand up here and read the word, you can be as mad as you want to at what's said. But the cool part is that ain't even my words. I love that. I get to place a little blame on Jesus. You don't like it? Awesome. You're talking to the wrong guy. You go holler at him. Verse 25, all of this I have spoken while still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. This is important. The Holy Spirit has now come into the earth. When we believe now, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the advocate. He's the bringer of all truth. He is the revealer of Jesus. When we walk in the truth of the Spirit, we will understand God in his fullness as best we can in the earth. This is important for us. Verse 27, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming and he has no hold over me, but he comes that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded. Now come, let us leave. So in this discourse that John is showing us, Jesus is communicating this idea that I shared with you from the beginning, that you may believe that love equals obedience. This is prevalent throughout John's writings. In fact, there are five times in the book of John that it is explicitly mentioned, this same concept. But oh, if that weren't enough, you can go to the book of 1 John, where he writes a little later in his journey, and now all of a sudden he actually mentions it four more specific times. So lest you think that this is just one concept and one little part of the scriptures, John is trying to help us believe that you got to understand this concept that love equals obedience, all right? Jesus says that if you love me, you will obey my commands. He says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. He goes into this multiple times. There is this correlation of how Jesus measures your love for him in your obedience to him. And this is important. One of the things that I like to try to help people understand is because they'll say, okay, well, I hear that, but how do I know what God's commands are? How do I know? Well, I like to make it as simple as possible because the Word of God is full and it's got a lot of commands. Jesus tried to really whittle it down and he said, well, it becomes quite simple. If you'll just love me and love other people, you'll be kind of covering it all. But if you want to know the fullness of what does that mean for my life and how do I live and what can I do, what can I not do, I always like to encourage people this, that if you know God's Word, you will understand God's will, and then you will go God's way. If you know God's word, you will understand God's will, and then you can go God's way. And that's how we'll know what his commands are and how we're meant to follow them. And if I'm hearing this, and maybe you're hearing this, and I just want to acknowledge, because I was a kid at one point as well, let's just admit it. I'm still a big kid. Am I right, Kate? Still a big kid at times, yeah. Maybe you're a little bit like me and you don't really like being told what to do. And I know I hated it as a kid and even as an adult at times, I don't really like being told what to do. And so there are some of you that maybe you're hearing this and your perspective of God, especially as you hear this, is very much like a thumb hold down, like restriction, like, man, this is, well, this, I don't know, how am I gonna follow and keep all these things? I'm not much of a rule follower. How am I meant to do this? And you might hear these things that Jesus is saying, almost like you are a kid and your parent is saying, because I said so. Now, let me just say this, that your parents have had authority in your life and you as a parent have had authority in your life on purpose. And let me just also say this, this is one of the things a lot of people don't like to hear, but whether you like it or not, our Heavenly Father is the ultimate authority in the entire everything. Universe, earth, world, whatever, however deep you want to go, he is the ultimate authority. And whether you like it or not, because he said so is good enough. It is. But, and this is where many of us struggle on our path, because there's still that kid at heart in you, and you might say, okay, but why? Well, today, I just want to say, God doesn't need my explanation to lead you. He doesn't. But because I love you and one of my jobs is to teach you his word, I want to show you that he's actually given us many reasons and listed them as to why you're meant to do what he's asked you to do, okay? So, let me just mention this before I get there. A lot of the reasons that we fall into this place is because there's still some of that kid part in us that we hear what someone says, hey, because I said so. But how many times as a kid did you go and still do it anyways? Yeah. How many times as an adult have you known what God has said to you and you did it anyways? A lot of this, even from childhood all the way into adulthood, a lot of this comes from a few places. Number one, especially in our walk with the Lord, one, it comes from a lack of fear of God. Man, like, I didn't have that choice to not listen because I knew that there was consequences coming if I didn't do what my parents said. There are so many of us in our journey that we forget that there are still consequences to what we do. Even if you are a believer and you're saved, yep, you're going to heaven, all that good stuff. But man, you cannot cheat on your wife and there are not consequences. You cannot steal from your job and not reap consequences. I just came to tell you today and remind you today that there needs to be a fear of God that we walk with, that even if you don't like it, that his authority says these things are right and that you would do it, even if it just starts at the top level of because God said so and I fear him, then I'll do it. The second part of that is that often we do it because we don't understand our place. You ever been in a restaurant and a parent says something to a kid and they talk back and you're like, are you, if I had a moment with that little, how dare you talk to them like that? But y'all, we do the same thing. We literally saying, it is your breath in our lungs. So the fact that you even have life and yet you think you gotta say, that's what's wrong with us. We've forgotten our place. You've forgotten that he's the creator of all things and you are dust. Another reason that this comes in this is a lack of trust. We are really good at becoming our own little g gods, are we not? We know our own way, we got our own path, we got our own goals, whatever we want, we desire. And we don't trust him to give us and be good, so we just take care of it of ourselves. We don't trust him. And all of that comes from the last thing, which is there's a lack of humility. We just have a real improper perspective of who God is, our place in this earth, what our role is, and the way in which we're meant to walk. And all of that might be true, But a lot of this comes from our misunderstanding of what God is trying to really say when he says obey. Now, I don't want to sugarcoat it. When he says obey, he means obey. But I want to give you a little glimpse into what John's writing here. And when John uses this word obey, it is actually a Greek word, tero, T-E-R-E-O. And what this is a concept of to keep, to guard, and to observe, meaning not just see it, but actually like hold to it and to hold fast to it. So when we hear obey, many of us feel like, okay, father, son, mother, daughter, and there is absolutely a part of that. But what John is really trying to describe here is this idea that, and I'm going to show you, that God has always been inviting us in to relationship with him, and it's way less rules-based and way more love-based. Way more about relationship rather than rules. And the relationship he's inviting us into is that he gives us a path and a way, and he asks us to keep it and to guard it and to observe it and to hold fast to it. And really where this comes back to is all the way back in Deuteronomy 6. This isn't going to show up in the screens or anything like that. But there's another translation of the word obey, and it actually comes from the Hebrew word shema. And if you remember any of this, I'll share it with you. This goes all the way back to Deuteronomy 6, where God is calling his people to trust him. And he says this, hear, O Israel, hear, listen, understand, observe, hold fast to, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay, so real quick, John's not crazy. We're not crazy. This has always been the way of the Lord, that he is one. And then it says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and your soul and your strength. See, this has always been the way of obedience. And I know many of us who aren't rule followers, when we're given rules, we don't like to follow them. And I'm not going to back off that God is God and what he says goes. I'm not going to back off of that. But there is another way and another perspective to see the way he's calling us into obedience. And again, I will say it has way less to do with rules and way more to do with relationship. And it's to hear him, to trust him, to observe what he's asked of us and to hold fast to it. Many of us just hear, though, because I said so. And so today, I want to actually walk you through not just that God said so, but he actually gives some reasoning behind it. So if you have your Bible, I want to show you this in a really familiar place. Go to Psalm 23. Go to Psalm 23. This is one of my favorite places to teach out of. I mean, most of you probably don't even need to go and grab it. You've got it memorized. But here's where I'm going to wrap up today. I want you to not just hear because God said so. It's good enough. But for those who maybe struggle with that, and maybe you just need a little further explanation, maybe you just need to have it opened up to you, a little revealing of the why God says that if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Like a good parent, our Heavenly Father has actually given us a good deal of explanation. And so this is for those who may struggle without explanation. The Lord gives it to you today. Psalm 23 starts with this. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. See, most of us struggle to listen and to obey and to hear and to trust. And it's because at its core root, we do not fully trust God. We think our ways are better. When we don't understand where he's going, what he's doing, and we can't see it, and it maybe doesn't align with our plans, we don't really trust him. I'll give you a really cool example. Well, it's not cool. Last night, we had spent kind of a whole day together. I have three little boys, and we had spent a whole day together. Our kids had went to a birthday party. They had went to a picnic, and then we went out to dinner. And one of our little boys wanted to go to the Cheesecake Factory after dinner, okay? Now, listen, I'm raising my boys bougie. I just am, all right? We like the Cheesecake Factory. I ain't gonna lie about it, all right? But the problem is that already that day he had had suckers from getting a haircut. He had had cake or cupcakes at a birthday party. He had had popsicles at this picnic. And even at dinner, we went to Jason's Deli. Y'all know you can't leave there without eating an ice cream cone, right? And then he's like, can we still go to the Cheesecake Factory? And I'm like, homie, like, okay, let's just talk about this. Like, look at all of these things you've gotten. And you know, his response was, yeah, but I still want cheesecake. And at its core, is that not us? We so often are able to look and identify the things that we don't have, even when we've been wildly blessed, and we focus on the things that we don't have. And so because of that, rather than being grateful for the lollipop and the cupcake and the ice cream and the popsicle, we focus on not having the extra cheesecake. That's us. We find ourselves in that place. Look, maybe a little more appropriately for you, it's not cheesecake. Maybe for you, it's been the job that you've been hoping for, applying for, trying to get. And although you've got a really great job, you make good money, everything is good, like you're not satisfied. Maybe for others, you're waiting on the right person. And rather than waiting, you settle for the wrong one. You know, it's funny, when we think about the lack of trust, it usually starts the same way. I wanted, but the answer was no. And so because I wanted and the answer was no, I fill in the blank. And more often than not, it's not I trusted the Lord to provide all that I needed. I went and I did this and I did this and I tried to performatively make it into what I wanted it to be. So even in Psalm 23, we're going to see this. There's a little bit of a cause and effect I'm going to show you throughout it. I'm going to move quickly after this, okay? It's not just because God said so. It is, but not just because he said so, that if you love him, you'll keep his commands. He's given us lots of reasons to trust him and trust him at his word. First of all, he's a provider. The next part of Psalm 23 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And so many times along our journey, we're like, okay, man, my kids, when they were little, telling them to take a nap was basically like saying, you have lost every privilege in the world, right? I mean, they melt down. For us as adults, it says when he makes us lie down, oftentimes we miss that he's actually trying to provide for us. We just run and run and run to the point of a fiery crash at the end of a cliff rather than allowing the Lord to say, no. Time to lay down, time to rest. And then we see this quiet water that he brings us to, and so many of us are bored by the same old scene. But what you miss in the understanding of the quiet stream is that you miss that the same thing that will bring you refreshment when you sit and you wade into a quiet water is the exact same thing that when the water is rushing and runs over you, it will sweep you up and take you to your death. But you missed that because you got too bored with the quiet stream. You wanted a little rushing water. And so in that, we miss his provision of protection to make us rest, to make us lie down, and to lead us into places that actually do what he says next. It says, he refreshes my soul. So there's a reason that the Lord says, no, wait, no, stop, wait, rest. Drink this, not that. There's a reason. It's because he's looking after you. He wants to see you refreshed. We miss out on seeing his great love for us when we take his ways and we distort them and we make our own. The next part says, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Why? Why this? Why that? We always like to ask why. And what the Lord says to us is because he said so and because his reputation is on the line. See, when we don't see him in his proper place, his reputation doesn't matter to us. when we just go and do whatever we want, let me just say this to you, Christian believer in the South. The way you live is one of the greatest hindrances to people who do not believe, because they see you walking in opposition to what the Word of God teaches, and they see it and they know it, and then you proclaim Jesus, but they don't believe you. And so he leads us along these paths for his name's sake. It's for his reputation. And it's not just for his glory, which it is, but it's also for our good. We miss that. And then the psalm says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Just last night, it's almost every night right now, my kids will come back down the stairs and say, I'm scared. It's dark. Somebody's gonna break in. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. But many of us walk through dark places. I've mentioned this before. Many of us don't understand, but the valley of the shadow of death is the way it's described in another translation. It's the same idea. That's actually a real place. It's actually a real place in the Kidron Valley where many armies would come and fight, and it would be a place of death, and it would just be covered in shadow and blood and bones, and so it would be a very dark place. You still got to walk through it. And see, this is the problem, especially with American Christians. You thought you were promised that you wouldn't deal with dark times. That wasn't the promise. The promise was that you're going to walk through them, but he's going to be with you. And that's what we say to our kids. Man, you got to get up and go to school for the first day. And I know it's scary, but I'm with you. I know you got to get up and you got to go to high school for the first time. And it's nuts out there, but you don't have to be afraid. I'm with you. Hey, I know I'm dropping you off at college in a town that you're not ready for, and an environment that maybe you're not sure what it's going to look like, and it's scary, but I'm with you. Hey, I know you're about to get married and you're about to have kids. You're about to buy a new home. I know you're about to retire. Like all of these things the Lord is saying, I know you're walking through fear and it's a dark place, but you don't have to fear because I'm with you. Don't walk through it just because I said so. Be reminded that I love you and I am with you. And then, I wish I had another hour. I could spend a whole nother hour on this next part. It's my favorite part of this psalm, and nobody gets it, and everybody just rushes right through it. It has everything to do with the way in which the Lord loves us through discipline. The Bible reminds us that the Lord disciplines those in which whom he loves. And listen, I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hand. How many of us actually like to be disciplined? Very few of us. And yet, that's one of the ways in which the Lord shows his great love for us. It says, the rod and the staff, they bring me comfort. The rod, a good shepherd would carry two sticks. Rod is a short little club. It's meant for offering direction, we're going this way, and protection from the enemy. And then in the other hand is a staff. It's the long, crooked end, and it's meant for offering correction. And the Lord taught me this actually raising one of my sons. I'm a helicopter dad. I've shared this with you before, but if you're new to home church, I'm a helicopter dad, and my son Jackson, when he was little, he was crawling towards some stairs, and I ran over and I said, no, son, don't do that. And I scooped him up, and the Lord reminded me, that's the staff. That he loves us so much that he would correct us, not out of anger, but out of love, that he would draw us away from the fiery cliff, that he would draw us away from the stairs, that he would draw us away from that person that we're not supposed to marry, that job we were never supposed to take. And rather than seeing the Lord disciplining us as a bad parent, just an angry dad, the Lord says, no, I do this because I love you. How many times were you spanked or you've even spanked? You said, this is gonna hurt me more than it hurts you. And when you were a kid, you didn't believe it. When you're a parent, you know it's true. And when the Lord disciplines you, it's because he loves you. And then he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I swear every single time we sit down on a meal, I have to tell my son Josiah, sit down. Why are we running around with food? Like, why? I don't get that part, but sit down, son. And Yet when the Lord tells us to sit down at a table and we get up and we're running crazy and we're putting our fingerprints on the wall, he's trying to say, I need you to sit down because I'm trying to not only sit with you, but son, you don't see the enemy is surrounding. It's not just because he said so to sit down at the table because he's a mean dad. It's because he sees what you can't see. Then he says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Oh, if we were to be but real shepherds. This is the idea that a shepherd would pour oil over the head of a sheep. And it's not to do anything crazy. It's meant to protect them. Sheep, if they don't have a covering, they would be just annoyed by flies and gnats and all these things. And the only way that they would be able to try to stop it is they would ram their head into something and ultimately kill themselves. The protection of the Holy Spirit, the conviction of God is meant to draw you to protection, to show you and to save you from yourself and from the enemy that's trying to harm you. And then the promise. Surely your goodness and mercy will last for me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not just because he said so, but because he loves you and he's got a plan for you and he wants to be with you. A few years ago, I went to a zoo with Katie and our boys in Colombia. And I saw this picture play out in front of me. There's this dad walking hand in hand with his son. And I heard him say, come on, son, I can't wait to show you. And he kind of points to the other side of the park. Now, I just happen to know what's on the other side of the park. And that's where the cool things are. That's where the elephants are. That's where the big gorilla that will smile and wave at you is. Like, all the cool things are over there. But along this journey, I'm watching this dad, and he's trying to hold the son's hand. He's trying to guide him to a place. And I see the son. At one point, he jerks away, and he goes, and he runs over here. There's a carousel that he gets distracted by. Dad goes and scoops him up and brings him back, and they're walking. And then the son jerks his hand, and he reaches down, and he's trying to grab a coin on the ground. And the dad's doing everything he can to say, no, son, hold my hand. I've got better for you. If you would just walk with me, if you would just trust me. Come on, son. I know the carousel ride looks fun, all the ups and downs. I know that money is attractive to you, but I've got better for you over here if you'll just walk with me. And the son, not understanding the way of the father, stayed distracted. And I don't even know if they made it to the other side of the park that day. How often is this true of our lives? That the father said that if you love me, you will obey my commands. And rather than trusting him and walking with him and allowing him to lead us and relying on him, we get so caught up in our own things and distracted by everything else that we miss the beauty of the relationship because of the practicality of the rules. And although, to be clear, our God has set some rules for us because of his great love for you, the heart of the Father is just like my heart for my boys. It's because I love them. And I just happen to know better than they do. And I might not have the time to explain it all in the moment, but I will say to them, son, if you'll just get in the car, son, if you'll just hold my hand, son, if you will just do what I'm asking you to do, you'll experience it too. Jesus says that if you love me, you'll obey my commands. That you will hear them, that you will trust them, that you will hold fast to them, you will observe them, and you'll obey. Today, there's not a crazy, wild invitation. I just want to give you some time to contemplate. Where are you as a son or a daughter? How observant have you been to God's commands? What is it that he's told you that you've been busy asking why and how rather than yes, sir? Jesus says that if you love him, you'll obey his commands. What does it look like for you to trust him and walk with him and obey him this morning?
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If there's anything that we can do to serve you or come alongside of you in your journey, please reach out. You can reach us at hello@myhomechurch.cc.